Last week on the telecast, I brought you a message using great plain speech, candid doctrine and truth. And I'm going to do the same thing today. I have a message for you entitled, The Doctrine of Christ. The Doctrine of Christ. And I want you to listen very carefully. The way I believe to preach the gospel is to preach it for the glory of God, according to the Word of God, in a way that will magnify Christ Jesus, but with very plain language and simple language, with simplicity, Paul said, and sincerity of truth. So you're going to understand what I'm saying today, and I want you to listen to it very carefully and follow in the Scripture. I'm reading from the book of 2 John. There's just one chapter in this epistle called the Epistle of 2 John. And I'm reading from verse 7 through 11. Will you follow as I read? It says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world." Many deceivers. "Who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Now look at verse 9. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God," does not have God. "He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Now, there are true preachers and false preachers. There are true believers and false believers. And I'm saying that all true believers, all true, truly redeemed people and true preachers of the gospel have many things in common. Among them are these. First of all, they believe the Word of God. Like David said, "I love thy word. I'll make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And as Paul wrote, "All scriptures given by inspiration of God." All scriptures God breathed. God breathed. And profitable for doctrine. All scripture. "Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If they speak not according to the Word of God, it's because there's no light in them." So all believers have this in common. They love and they cherish and they delight in and they believe the Word of God. And then secondly, all true believers and all true preachers of the gospel reverence and fear and worship the one true and living God. There's no compromise on their part. They fear God and they hold him in great reverence. Holy and reverent is his name. And they worship the living God. And they can say with one voice and heart, "Come, let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God." The Lord our God is one God. "To whom be all the glory and the praise, both now and forever." And then thirdly, all true believers and all true preachers of the gospel are conscious of their sins before God. They can say with David, "My sins are ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." They can say with the psalmist, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy loving kindness and tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Purge me with hyssop, wash me, and I shall be clean." And every believer, whether in the pulpit or the pew, every believer has a consciousness of sin and they have cast themselves on the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. They're not trying to wash their sins away in water or purge their sins with sacraments or make themselves holy by their own merit and their own self-righteousness or try to hide their nakedness with fig leaves of works and abomination to God. They're trusting Christ, believing Christ, resting in Christ, drawing all that they have from that blessed fountain of grace and fountain of mercy, Jesus Christ the Lord. And then fourthly, all true believers have an understanding of and a love for the person and work of Christ. Now, an understanding. Now, listen to me. All true preachers and true believers, they're not confused in regard to who Jesus Christ is and what he did and why he did it and where he is now. They know who he is. They have an understanding of and a great love for the person and work of Christ, called in the Scriptures the doctrine of Christ. John summed it up like this. He said, we know, 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God has come. The Son of God has come into this world and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Now, every believer and every true preacher has an understanding of the doctrine of Christ. Did you notice in that scripture which I read a while ago, written by the Apostle John, who said, many false teachers and false preachers are gone out into this world, active in religion, and their chief error has to do with what they believe and preach about Jesus Christ. In other words, they transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ. Did you hear that when I read that a while ago? He said, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Whoso transgresseth and abideth not in this doctrine of Christ hath not God. Whatever he has, whatever he professes to have, if he has not this doctrine of Christ, he has not God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if anybody comes to you preaching or teaching and doesn't bring this doctrine of Christ, John says, don't receive him into your house. And don't support him. And don't bid him Godspeed. And don't wish him the best of health. And don't send him away with your blessings. Because these people abide not in the doctrine of Christ. Listen how plain he puts it back in 1 John 4. Now listen to this. In 1 John 4, 1 through 3, and also in our text, whosoever confesses not, now that's in word, that's in deed, that's in method, confesses not. He refuses to confess. For whatever purpose, he does not preach and does not teach and does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. What's that saying? Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He has come somewhere. He has left somewhere and come somewhere. Well, this is what it's saying. He's saying that Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, is the Christ of God. He's the Messiah. He's very God of very God. He is, as Isaiah put it, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the surety of the covenant. He is the Redeemer. And if a man doesn't preach and teach that Jesus Christ, God, very God of very God, the Everlasting Father, is come in the flesh, he who is with God, who is God, by whom all things were made, has actually become flesh and dwelt among us on this earth. That's what that's saying. And he's saying those who do not believe this are not of God. They're not of God. They're not of God. And he, not only that, but he said, and they're antichrist. He said not only that, but they deceive people. Now this takes in a whole lot of folks. He said, now let me read you the text again. Many deceivers are entered the world. And these, who are these deceivers? These are people, they're popular preachers and teachers and religious leaders. And the error of most preachers and teachers and religious leaders has nothing to do with creation. I hear them arguing about creation or evolution and all that. That's not where the problem is with most preachers. He didn't say, whosoever transgresseth the doctrine of creation hath not God. He said the doctrine of Christ. He said, whoso confesseth not that God created the world in 6 days hath not God. Oh, no. He said, whosoever confesseth not that Jesus came in the flesh hath not God. That's the deceiver. That's the Antichrist. So the great error and issue and trouble is not over creation. It's not over morality. You can't say that a man who does not fight abortion hath not God. You cannot say that a man who goes to a baseball game on Sunday hath not God. You cannot say that a man who drinks a bottle of beer hath not God. He doesn't say that. But he says, whoso confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he hath not God. And he's a deceiver and an antichrist. There's the issue. It's not creation in 6 days. It's not morality. It's not laws and government. It has to do with Jesus Christ. That's the supreme error. That is the very foundation of error. They do not preach Christ as he's revealed in the Word. And you can preach what you will. You can preach what you will. It's useless if you don't preach Christ. You can believe what you will, but it's useless if you don't believe Christ. You can do what you will, but it's useless if you do not do it and have it in the name of Christ. That's what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ is all. Did you notice that three times in those verses? The Apostle John, the beloved John, who leaned on the Master's breast at the Last Supper. The beloved John, who wrote the Gospel of John and three epistles. And he said, whosoever confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that very God of very God has visited this world in human flesh, that he's the Redeemer, that he's the Savior, that he's our ransom, that he's our surety and substitute, that he's our righteousness and justifier and sanctifier, that Almighty God has come to this earth in human flesh and walked on this earth fulfilling the law and went to the cross and died and was buried and rose again and went back to glory. He came in the flesh and accomplished what God sent him to do and went back to glory where he sat down at the right hand of God. If you don't believe that and preach that and confess that, you have not God. And what's more, you're a deceiver and an antichrist. And whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in this doctrine of Christ hath not God. But whosoever believeth and abideth in this doctrine of Christ not only has God the Father, but God the Son. And if anybody comes to you, whether he's walking down the street selling Bibles, or whether he's promoting a denomination, or whether he's preaching in a pulpit, or whether he's preaching on television, if don't let him into your home if he doesn't bring this doctrine. And don't bid him Godspeed, don't wish him well on his journey, and don't give him a nickel if he preaches not the doctrine of Christ. Now, my friends, that's what that says. And I challenge you to get the Bible and see if it's not so. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The apostle said this, other foundation can no man lay than that which is Christ. He said again, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our Lord sent the disciples out into the world to preach the gospel. And he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, what? The gospel of Christ. And is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not what? The gospel of Christ shall be damned. I'm not being narrow or fanatical or radical. I'm just telling you what God says in the Bible. And if you do not go along with the Bible, then toss it out the window and be a pagan. And hope it's wrong. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life. And this life's in his Son. It's not in the church. It's not in the baptistry. It's not in the altar. It's not in the preacher's hand. It's not in your decision. Eternal life, the life of God, the new life, the new nature, eternal glory is in Jesus Christ. It's in Him because He bought it and purchased it and fulfilled it and accomplished it by His obedience and death, by His life and blood. It's in Christ. And he that hath Christ hath this life that's in Christ. And he that hath not Christ hath not the life, for Christ is the life. Do you see that? It's as plain and simple as that. If you have anything, you got to go where it is. If you drink water, you have to go to the fountain. And if you have the fountain, you have the water. And if you don't have the fountain, you don't have the water. If you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. Whatever else you have. Well, I tell you what I think, preacher. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. And our ways are not His ways. Now, Paul in Colossians says this, and this is one of my favorite scriptures. I preach on it frequently. Christ is all. Christ is all. Let me show you that. Four things. Christ is all. In the grand and great design of God for His eternal kingdom. God has a purpose and a plan. It's going to be a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth a new people, a holy race. All of them purchased by Christ, redeemed by Christ, and conformed to the image of Christ, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And Christ is all in this thing, in God's eternal design and plan of redemption. It says in Colossians 1:14, in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image, the exact image, the express image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created. And He is before all things that are created. And by Him all things are held together, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Did you ever hear anything clearer than that? This is talking about Christ. Now listen to it again. He is before all things. By Him all things are created. For by Him all things were created, and by Him all things are held together. And He has a preeminence in all things. And the Father hath loved the Son and hath given all things into His hands. He's all and in all. Christ is all. He's all in creation, and He's all in the Old Testament scriptures. Did you ever read the Old Testament carefully and see that Christ is revealed on every page of the Old Testament? He said, Moses wrote of Me. He told the Pharisees, search the scriptures. They are they which testify of Me. Christ is not only all in the Old Testament scriptures, He's all the types and the shadows and the patterns and the pictures. That Passover is Christ. Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. That rock in the wilderness is Christ. That tabernacle is Christ. That priesthood and sacrifices, that's all pointing to Christ. For when He came and died and fulfilled them, they ceased. They ceased. In salvation, redemption, justification, sanctification, Christ is all. In the new heaven and new earth, Christ is all. Because up there they sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive all glory and all power, both now and forever. And not only that, but Christ is all in mercy and grace to sinners. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Christ. He is our completion. Everything that God has for the sinners in Christ. Every mercy, every spiritual blessing is in Christ. We were chosen in Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved. We're made holy and righteous in Christ. All believers are justified in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All believers are free from the curse of the law in Christ. Christ hath delivered us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And Paul said, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also made intercession for us, maketh intercession for us. All believers are risen and seated in Christ. No truth can be plainer in the Word of God. And this is the doctrine of Christ. And this is exactly what Paul was talking about when he said to the Corinthians, "We preach Christ. God didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel of Christ. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And if you preach God, if you preach His glory, if you preach His person, if you preach His kingdom, if you preach His salvation, if you preach His will, you must preach Christ. And then Christ is all to the new man. Listen to this scripture in Colossians 3. He talked about Christ being all. Then he says, "You have put on the new man, renewed in knowledge after the image of God who created him." Created him. He created this new man, this new creature, that's as a result of God's, of the new birth, is in Christ. It's created after the image of him who created it, after the image of Christ. Now watch this. "Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, where there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, where there's neither barbarian, Scythian, bond, or free, but Christ is all." In other words, what I'm saying is this. That man or woman who is saved, who knows God, who's born again, who has a new nature, a new life renewed in knowledge after the image of Him who created it, that in Christ, those people know no national distinctions. There's no Greek or Jew. There's no black or white. There's no red or yellow. There's no Chinese or American or English. He's our nationality. He is our fatherland. He is our culture. There's neither Greek nor Jew in Christ. That's right. In Christ, they're one. You see that? There's neither Greek nor Jew in Christ. But Christ is all. Christ is all. He's our fatherland. He's our culture. He's our nationality. It's Christ, all right? Not only that, but in Christ there's no ceremonial distinction. People around the world have all these different ceremonies and rituals and sort of things like that, but he said in Christ there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. In other words, Christ is our altar. Christ is our Sabbath. Christ is our temple. Christ is our ceremony. You see what I'm saying? We worship God in spirit and in truth and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And we have no ritual. We have no ritual. We have no ceremony. It's a heart worship. God is a spirit. And they that worship in spirit and truth. The living God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He needs not these visual aids that we bring, candles and all this sort of thing, you know. Christ is our ceremony, our altar, our Sabbath, our circumcision. And in Christ there's no social distinction. Now watch this. That new man created in Christ. There's no national distinction, there's no ceremonial distinction, and there's no social distinction. In other words, in Christ, there's neither barbarian, Scythian, bond, a man who's in slavery, or free. All social, material, educational, human distinctions fall before the grace of God. Pride is destroyed by the presence of Christ. There's no high and low and rich and poor and influential and uninfluential and male and female, but there's one body. And they all serve the one head, Jesus Christ. Christ is all. You see what I'm saying? Here's where the teachers and preachers miss it. This is the error. The doctrine of Christ. In the grand design of God for this whole new heaven, new earth, Christ is all. In redemption, in salvation, in everything, Christ is all. In the new man, Christ is all. He is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We have so much clash today. this one doesn't speak to that one, and this one's above that one, and this one's underneath that one, and this one rules over that one, and this one's richer than that one, and that one's more educated than that one. Not in Christ. Not in Christ. That's carnality. That's flesh religion. That's merit and works. That's not Christ. In Christ there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, Greek nor Jew, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. Christ is all. And I'll tell you something else. Christ is all by way of example and motive for the conduct and conversation of his people. Whatever I do in word or deed, I do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And I want to tell you something. Here are four areas where people have a struggle before the issue is settled and they come to Christ. And I'll tell you what they are briefly. Number one, his righteousness or mine. I can't have both. His righteousness or mine. Mine's got to go by the board as filthy rags, and his is that righteousness that I covet, seek, and receive. Secondly, it's his regeneration or my decision. Salvation is not by decision, it's by the power of God. And this issue's got to be settled. Did I save myself or did he save me? Did he save? If I'm resting in an old experience that stays old, it's fatal. But I rest in a new life given me by God. I'll tell you, thirdly, is this, his glory or my glory? Can't be both. No man can have two masters. It's his glory or my glory. What am I seeking, his glory or mine? And then last of all, this, is he the Lord of my life or am I still the master? Am I still trying to run things? Is he the Lord? Is he my Lord? I count all things but loss for the knowledge of Christ, my Lord and my God. Now, I have two messages on this tape. I'd like for you to have them. One of them is the difference. Wherein do we differ from today's religion? Secondly is the doctrine of Christ. This is where most men are missing it, the doctrine of Christ. Or they're preaching various things that have some truth in them, but they're missing the doctrine of Christ. And this tape sells for $2. Write, and we'll send it to you. And may God give you an understanding of his blessed word. God bless you.